Hey, what's going on, LifeBridge? I hope you had a great week. And if this is the first time you're connecting with us online, or maybe you're at somebody's house gathered in their living room or backyard, welcome to LifeBridge. We are pumped that you're here. My name's Matt. I'm one of the pastors here. And real quick, just to give you a heads up, right now I'm on antibiotics for strep throat. So if my voice sounds like I'm in a desert, or it cracks like I'm a 13-year-old boy, like, you know the reason why. Don't worry, we'll get through this. Hey, next week, before we really get going, next week we're starting a new series called Red Sea Rules. And we're going to look at one of the most famous stories in the entire Bible, one of the very few stories that almost everybody has at least heard of. Even if this is the first time that you're ever connected to a church service, there's a good chance you've at least heard about this story. It's a story when God parted the Red Sea so that the Israelites could walk through it on dry ground as they were fleeing away from the Egyptians. So we're going to look at this story from multiple different angles, not only so that we can pull out the truth from it that's actually incredibly relevant for us right now, but we also want to see how I actually apply this to my life. And we're also going to use it for a launch pad for our church for what's next. That story is in Exodus 14. So if you want to go ahead and jump ahead and read through that this week, I would encourage you to do that. But this week, we're finishing off our series that we've been calling Playlist. Psalm 120 all the way through 134. Those psalms are called the Songs of Ascents. This is a playlist of songs that the Israelites would have sang three times a year when they made their way to Jerusalem for the three major festivals. These songs are about God. They point to who He is, and they also give us steps that we can take in our personal relationship with Jesus. Or even better yet, they can help us if we want to accept Jesus and start that personal relationship with Him right now. These are steps that we can take. These songs are all about what we would call discipleship. Now, that word gets thrown out all the time. It's a big word. It's an important word. But let me just make sure we're clear on what that actually means. Let me ask you this way. Let me set it up this way. Have you ever been an apprentice before? You know, an apprentice is a student of someone else. They learn from someone else. They ask questions. They develop under that person. And the longer they follow that person, the more and more they look like that person, the more and more they become like that person. Discipleship is an apprenticeship with Jesus. That's what it is. You will become more and more like Jesus the more you follow Him and the more you get to know Him. Not know Him like He's a subject in some textbook. That's knowing stuff about Jesus, but knowing Him in a personal relationship. Jesus said to His disciples right before He was crucified, He said, "Guys, I now consider you my friends." That's how He wants you to know Him, in a relationship. Not know Him like He's a subject in school, but He wants you to know Him as your Savior and your friend. These songs on this playlist give us more of a glimpse of Jesus's nature, and they give us steps that we can take in our apprenticeship with Him. We've hit every single one of these songs on this list, one for each of the last 14 weeks. And I gotta be honest, I never thought that all 14 of these songs would be online only. I was convinced that we would do half of this series online only and then half back in our auditorium. But here we are. Still not sure what the next week holds. Man, I thought that COVID was just going to be a two-week disruption, like most of us thought. And then by Easter, we would be back in our auditorium. And I was convinced of that. But Easter came and went. And then I thought, well, maybe by Mother's Day. Well, maybe by mid-June. Maybe by the 4th of July. I thought that all to myself. And yet here we are, we're still scattered. Something that I've noticed more and more over the last 2 weeks, as I've talked to more people here and people around different parts of the country, and as I'm watching things that are going on, what I'm noticing is that our levels of frustration, anxiety, disappointment, even anger, those levels are going up. It's because this thing keeps dragging on. It's because most of us thought we would be back to some sense of normalcy by midsummer. And now we're just a couple weeks away from school starting. Summer's like already starting to get close to the end. And we're thinking, wait, what happened? What happened? I thought we were supposed to be through this by now. So we get angry. We're frustrated. We're disappointed. We're anxious. It's like this whole wave of emotions that hit us when this whole thing started has come back again. And I get it. But here's the thing. We will get back to some sense of normalcy. We absolutely will. We will get back to gathering together as a large group. That's going to happen because this too shall pass. But right now what we need is we need to be patient. We need to stay calm. Calm is contagious. We've said that before. Calm is contagious. Now, we're going to plan as a church, we're going to continue to plan for months out, but how we get through this as individuals and as a group is we take this one day at a time, one step at a time. So when I planned this series out, the psalm that we're going to end with today was just the psalm that we were going to end the series with. But looking at where we're at right now on August 2nd, 2020, this is the perfect thing we need to hear. It's the perfect song to end with. Why? Because it's going to give us a pass to start in-person services again with none of the restrictions. No, I wish it would. That would be awesome. But that's not what we need right now. Okay, so is it a vaccine? I can hear the sarcasm in that. I get it. It's not a vaccine, obviously, and I hope science gets us a vaccine sooner than later. But I would also say that's also not what we need right now. Let me ask you this. Have you ever found an old letter or a card at the bottom of a drawer? Maybe you found an old email that you got a long time ago that was from a friend or your spouse, maybe a teacher, your mom or dad, somebody that you work with. And as you read that letter again, it was like it was a breath of fresh air. It almost brought tears to your eyes. Maybe it even did bring tears to your eyes because it reminded you that somebody loves you. It reminded you that somebody's proud of you. It reminded you that somebody's in your corner. It reminded you that somebody's grateful for things that you've done. It reminded you that somebody's got your back. I have a box that I keep any kind of letter or card or email like that. I put it in that box because there's times where I gotta go back to that box and pull some stuff out. I need to read some of that stuff to be reminded. We all need to be reminded at times of who we are. We need to be reminded who's in our corner. We need to be reminded that we're loved. We even need to be reminded what to do. From time to time, we all need to be reminded, and that's exactly what we need right now. We need a reminder. Psalm 123 is a reminder, and it's a reminder where to look. So here's the question I want to ask you, and I want you to think about this today. Maybe talk about it with the people you're watching this with. Chew on this all week. Here's the question. Where are you looking? Where are you looking? Well, hopefully it's at the screen right now. Well, even if it isn't, I don't know if it is or not, so I won't be self-conscious. But what I'm talking about is so much bigger than what our eyes are physically focused on. Where are you looking? That's what Psalm 123 is all about. So listen to the words of this song and don't just hear them. Let them sink in. It says, I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in heaven. We keep looking to the Lord our God for his mercy. Just the servants keep their eyes on their master as a slave girl watches her mistress from the slightest signal. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy, for we have had our fill of contempt. We've had more than our fill of scoffing of the proud and the contempt of the arrogant. So the context of this song, like we don't know what it was written about or when it was exactly written. And I actually think that's a gift for us. Because if we knew that this was written about a specific battle or storm or pandemic or whatever, then it would be really easy for us to just disregard this and think, you know what, this doesn't apply to me because this is just some story from the past. But because we don't know the backstory, because we don't know the original context of what was happening, it's so much easier for us to see how this applies to us just as much today as it did for the Israelites back then. So put your story into this song. Put your story into this song. It says this, we've had our fill of contempt. We've had more than our fill of the scoffing of the proud and the contempt of the arrogant. Can you hear the exhaustion in those words? Like, who isn't tired of circumstances that are going down the tube or going nowhere at best? Who isn't tired of being scoffed or mocked at by somebody who's riding way too high on their horse? Who isn't tired of being looked down on or disregarded by somebody who's really arrogant? I mean, that stuff takes all of about 3 seconds and then it's old to all of us. We're all experiencing that to some degree right now. I mean, what's happening to you right now? Are you worn down by your circumstances? I mean, maybe your marriage is struggling. I mean, things are just not good with you and your spouse right now. I mean, maybe you're having a hard time making ends meet. Maybe you're being turned on or left by your friends because they keep pressuring you to do something that you know you shouldn't do. Maybe something you don't even want to do, but they keep pressuring you and you don't cave, so they turn their back on you. Maybe your job is requiring something from you right now that no human being can possibly give, and it's unfair at best. And maybe you or a loved one is sick and they're just, man, they're not getting better. Maybe you've experienced death. I mean, are your circumstances wearing you down right now? Or maybe you're being mocked or scoffed because of your faith, because of what you value, because you won't compromise your character. Maybe you're being looked down with contempt and disregarded because of your race. Ignorant and arrogant people looking down on you as someone less. Or maybe you're looking down on with contempt because you're not willing to buy into the latest popular narrative that all it is hate, but it's marketed and disguised as love. But what you stand for is real love, real truth, and real hope, but you get kicked down for it. I mean, I could keep going on with examples. You get the point. All of us have experienced that before, or maybe we're experiencing it right now. We're experiencing this. Man, we have had our fill of contempt. We've had more than we can take, more of the scoffing from the proud. We're sick of being looked down on by people that are just arrogant. We've all experienced that. And if you and I are experiencing that right now, when, not if, but when we experience it again in the future, what do we do? This is where you and I have to know where we're really looking, because this is where we're really vulnerable, whether you're a Christian or not. Whenever you're experiencing contempt, or you're being mocked or kicked while you're down, whether you're being disregarded or just shunned, whatever, whenever you're experiencing anything like that, it just feels terrible. If your circumstances are bad, it feels terrible. Now, our depression levels maybe they go up. Maybe anxiety goes up for you. Maybe you just get ticked off. Maybe you're sad. You feel defeated. We just don't feel good. So what we want to do is we want to fix that. We want to do anything we can to feel good. And we look for relief. And that's normal to look for relief when circumstances aren't bad or you're feeling down or you're getting kicked while you're down. That's normal to look for relief. But this is where we can fall into even more pain. This is when we can go into even a greater downward cycle. Because when you don't feel good, you'll look for relief. You'll look to feel good in all kinds of places, and maybe the wrong places. The temptation when you don't feel good, when you've had your fill, when you're tired of dealing with whatever you're experiencing, the temptation is to look to anything around you to get relief, to look to anything around you to feel good. That's where we get in trouble. Maybe you look to another person to make you feel good, to give you relief. Now, having good relationships is a great thing. That's a great thing. But if you look to another person to make you feel good and to give you relief, then you're putting a pressure on that person that they can't hold up under. Eventually, they're not going to make you feel good. You know, maybe they do something that seriously hurts you. Or maybe it's just something that they say that's actually pretty small in an argument, but now you just feel completely betrayed because they're not giving you what you went to them in the first place. They're not giving you relief. They're not making you feel good. So you feel betrayed and the relationship is even in greater trouble now. Maybe you look to pornography. You know, it promises to make you feel good, to give you an escape, to give you a relief, but it only delivers devastation. It ruins relationships. And the science behind how porn rewires the brain is alarming. You know, maybe you throw yourself into your work. You think if you can just work harder, you perform better, then you can earn more money that makes you secure, and you'll earn enough status that people can't look down on you. Well, working hard and a good performance, those are great. We should strive for those things, absolutely. But if you look to that to relieve you from your circumstances, then your work is actually going to enslave you instead of actually saving you. Or maybe you look to drugs and alcohol. Isn't this what they promise? To give you relief, to give you a sense of escape, to make you feel good. And it starts with just trying to take the edge off. One drink can go to full-blown alcoholism, full-blown drug abuse, just because you're using them to try to feel good, to try to escape, to try to numb yourself. And we can come up with endless amounts of examples. I mean, they could be good things too, like food or Netflix or sex or recreation, all really great things. But when we use those for relief, now I just need to escape. I just need to feel good. When we do that, eventually we're going to have more disappointment, more pain, and we're going to end up right back in the exact same spot. They don't do what we think they will do for us. So right now, where are you really looking for relief? And where are you really looking for mercy right now with everything that's going on? Psalm 123 is the reminder. It says this, I lift my eyes to you, O God. Enthroned in heaven, we keep looking to the Lord our God for his mercy. Just as servants keep their eyes on their master, as a slave girl watches her mistress for the slightest signal, have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy. The reminder is to look up. That's the reminder. The writer of this psalm wanted mercy badly, wanted relief badly. In Israel, they were no stranger to tough times, not at all. I mean, Israel knew what it was like to be slaves. I mean, that's why there's a reference to a slave girl here. They knew exactly what that illustration meant. They were slaves for 400 years, and then they were actually going to be slaves again later on. I mean, they had experienced being attacked. They had experienced devastation through disease. They had been the butt of jokes from the surrounding countries and cultures for centuries, and they just wanted mercy. So the reminder is to look intently and expectantly at the Lord. The reminder then, the reminder today, and the reminder tomorrow is to look up. It's to look up. When you don't know what else to do, look up. When you're at the end of your rope, look up. Before you do anything, look up. Because real hope, real mercy, real help, and real relief only comes from God. Don't look to other people or other things. Just look up to Jesus. This is the beginning, the middle, and the end of the gospel too. Man, we're always looking up. Jesus said, guys, I've got to be lifted up. He was talking about the cross. Jesus, who is the Son of God, went to the cross, took all of the world's sin onto himself. He paid the penalty that is attached to your sin and to my sin. Justice was satisfied for all of the injustice in the world, past, present, and future, because of what Jesus did on the cross. And you and I can receive the blessing of Jesus's perfection. When we look to the cross, because Jesus lived a perfect and obedient life, you can receive the blessing that comes from his perfection and his obedience by looking up at the cross. Jesus said, guys, I have to be lifted up. And when I'm lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. Man, that's why we praise Jesus, that's why we preach Jesus, and that's why we point to Jesus, because when we look up at the cross, you and I, we can be saved. That's why we tell people about Jesus, that's why we preach the cross. And that's just the beginning of the gospel. We're always looking up. The Christian life is one that's always looking up at Jesus. Man, don't look down. Don't look to the right or the left. Don't look behind you. Don't look in front of you. Just look up. Following Jesus is always looking up. So in your time of need, look up at him. When things are going great, look up at him. When you're in a time where you're sad and hurt and scared and depressed, look up to him. When things are great, you're killing it, you're successful, you're happy, and you're healthy, look up at him. Following Jesus is always looking up. And then it's also the end of the gospel too. Man, one day Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for everyone who's put their faith and trust in him. He's coming back for everyone who's received and taken his gift of mercy and grace and forgiveness and new life. And he says, guys, when I come back, get this, when I come back, I'm coming back on a cloud. I mean, that's going to be awesome. What's that going to look like? Which means we're still looking up. The Christian life is one where we're always looking up because God is above us and over us. If he wasn't, he wouldn't be God. So put yourself in a position to always look up. And I know that's hard. That's really hard when we live in a culture that insists that you will be better if you're in a position to look down on other people. But if you live under Jesus, then you'll always have somebody to look up to. But if you don't, you'll always be looking down on someone else. If you're always looking up at Jesus, you'll never be able to look down on someone else. So right now, where are you really looking? If you're looking down, then you're trying to be God. But if you're looking up, you got a posture of a servant. And this is where real freedom comes. Real freedom comes when you look up at the master. But real oppression comes when you look down as the master. And isn't that where so much of the tension and pain come from throughout history and even today? Oppression? One person looking down on another person as a master? And that's where racism and slavery in the United States has been. One group of people oppressing another group of people in society by looking down at them as the master. And that's the easy example. I mean, that's the obvious one, but it goes way beyond that. We see it play out in politics. One side looking down on the other side. Maybe it's a person looking down on another person because they're less educated, or they don't make as much money, or they haven't been as successful. Maybe this person didn't make the JV team as opposed to the varsity team, or this person is socially awkward. Anytime a person or a group of people look down on another as they are superior, that's where oppression comes from. That's been prevalent throughout history, and you know what? Unfortunately, it's still present in 2020. Because we're all sinful people, which means all of us, every single one of us, no matter who you are, what your story is, where you come from, what your ethnicity is, what your background is, every single one of us, man, we're all vulnerable to oppressing somebody to some degree or another. And if I'm the person that says, no, I'm immune to that, I'm above that, I'm probably the biggest offender. We've got to check our blind spots so that we can move forward. But the flip side of that coin, you will find real freedom when you look for the freedom of someone else. That's what being a servant is. So what kind of freedom do people need today? Well, we need freedom from slavery of sin. Absolutely, that's the gospel. That's why everything we do is about the gospel. I love what Tim Keller said. He was a pastor in New York City. He says that the gospel is not the ABCs of Christianity. The gospel is A through Z. Everything we do is about the gospel so that we can give people freedom from the slavery of sin, people that know Jesus and people that have never met Jesus before. Well, what about freedom from social oppression? Because unfortunately, that stuff still exists. So that's why we seek out justice or freedom to live. That's why we look to take care of people's physical needs and set them up in ways where they can thrive and succeed in life. We look for ways. The reason why we serve is we look for ways to put people in front of us so that not only they hear the saving power of the gospel, but they also experience it. We serve by seeking justice and being generous and taking care of physical needs and preaching and living out the gospel. And the list goes on and on and on. When you look for the freedom of someone else by being a servant, that's when you will experience real freedom yourself. That's what Jesus is calling you to. And it starts by looking up. It starts by looking up. Right now, we have so many opportunities to look up, so many reminders to look up. You may be watching this and connecting with us online from a different state or even a different country right now, but our church is physically located in Colorado. We've got reminders every single day. We've got mountains every single day to remind us to look up. We're always looking up. Man, look up at that mountain. Look up there. Look up there. So every single time you look at a mountain, remind yourself, let that be a reminder to look up to Jesus. Besides the mountains, we have more things that are great reminders for us to look up to Jesus today. So I have taken, I didn't know if I would share this or not, but here's what I want to say. I've taken some shots and been called some names this summer for speaking about race and things that are going on in the world and not having services in our building yet. I've been scoffed at for that, and I get it. I totally get it. I know that that's an emotional reaction coming from the pressure cooker that all of us are living in. We're all tired, so emotions are on high. I get it. And that's also part of leadership. I know that. And the reason I'm telling you that for application. I'm telling you that because this is a perfect opportunity for me to put my money where my mouth is with this message that I'm preaching. Because right now it's a chance. I could fire sharp words back at people. I mean, that might feel good. Actually, it probably would feel good at times. And maybe that give me a sense of relief for at least a few minutes. But is that how Jesus would respond? So I'm actually grateful for all of it. And here's why. Even though that stuff can hurt and it can be disappointing and frustrating at times, absolutely. Whenever someone takes a verbal shot at me or scoffs at me or even calls me a name, that's a chance for me to take a shot back. It's a chance for me to look somewhere else. It's a chance for me to ask for affirmation from somebody else. It's a chance for me to go fish for compliments. Or It's a chance for me to look up at Jesus. It's a chance for me to pray. It's a chance for my character to be tested and developed. It's a chance for me to be reminded of the mission that I'm a part of, to reach people that don't know Jesus, to help people that do know him grow in their relationship with him, to be a part of justice, to be a part of what God is doing to transform lives around Northern Colorado. It's a reminder of Romans 8:16. It says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed children of God, and if children of God, then we are heirs of God, heirs with Christ, provided, this is the catch, provided that we suffer with him in order that we would be glorified with him. A lot of times we like to forget that part, but provided that we suffer with him, that's the opportunity. This is the meat of the verse, that we suffer with him so that we might be glorified with him. Seeking to serve others and follow Jesus doesn't mean we are exempt from suffering. We are never promised that. And suffering, it comes in all different shapes and sizes. And if all my suffering is right now is just take a verbal lashing at times from people, man, to me, that's low on the scale compared to what other people suffer. We are never promised exemption, but what we are promised is that we will never suffer in vain. It will be used for good, and that it is also an affirmation that we are sons and daughters of God. Suffering is an opportunity and a chance to look up. Right now, with what's going on in your life and what's going on around you, what chances and what reminders do you have right now in your life to remind you to look up? Psalm 123 is a reminder to look up. No matter what's going on in your life, in good times, definitely bad times, it's a reminder, look up to Jesus. That's the whole point. If you heard one thing in this entire series, all 14 songs, hear this, look up to Jesus. Psalm 123 is a reminder, and it's an opportunity to point to look at the truth in Psalm 23. So know this, when you look up to Jesus, this is what you're looking up to. Let me read Psalm 23 as we end this series. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you're close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah, let's pray. God, thank you for so many reminders to look up to you. Thank you that you promise us that your love and your faithfulness will never end. Father, I pray that you would continue to use your spirit, that your spirit would speak to our souls, that would remind us that when we're struggling, when our circumstances aren't good, when we're mocked or scoffed, when we don't see an end, that we would look up to you, Jesus. Help us to look up. Let us be a church that looks up and points other people to look up too. Because in a season and a time where there seems like there's no hope, when there's no love, there's no truth, we know that that's not true. We know there is hope. We know there is love. We know that there is truth. And that's only in Jesus Christ. Remind us to look up. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.